I just feel lucky, I guess, you know, that tech has enabled me to, you know, connect with so many people. So I just think it's amazing.
My name is Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
This Women in Tech road trip is powered by Kia Niro Touring. Yes, Kia provided us the most fuel-efficient, comfortable car to be our mobile podcasting studio as we drive state to state, Los Angeles to New York, celebrating Women in Tech, featuring them on the Women in Tech podcast. First of all, it has cooled seats. It has the most silent AC. You can't even hear it. I leave it on low during the interviews and it is perfect. No disruption at all. You have fuel efficiency because it's hybrid. It comfortably stores all of our stuff. And there's three of us in this car with a ton of backpacks and mic gear and video gear. The Kia Niro Touring is phenomenal. Simply could not be possible without Kia. A huge thank you. Enjoy the Women in Tech road trip series. Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast. I am on the Women in Tech road trip in Denver, Colorado right now. So exciting. We are in the Kia Niro Touring. As you guys can hear, we have the chilled seats and the air is like totally keep us comfortable. It's like the most amazing mobile podcasting studio ever. And I'd like to welcome Amy to the conversation. So Amy, thank you again for being so flexible and meeting with us today. Let's start right at the beginning. Go ahead and introduce yourself and then share, like, when did you first fall in love with technology?
Wow. So, again, my name is Amy Giese. I am a freelance web developer, but I went to school for graphic design way back in the dark ages, I graduated in the early 90s. And so as tech evolved, I kind of fell in love with tech on the way, brought on social media. So I also have a blog. So it's just kind of been, you know, with the evolution of tech, I pick up new pieces of it along the way.
And like, what about technology really attracted you?
Well, I like the idea that I can do beautiful things. Like, I feel like technology is a tool. So as a graphic designer, you know, I only had one computer class in college, and then I learned all of my computer skills in the job place. And so I think of it as a tool to be able to execute, you know, creative ideas. And I just love that it makes it easier and more fun, and I get to do really cool stuff. So.
And when did you learn graphic design?
I started in high school, actually, but I went to college from 88 to 90. I graduated a little early in 91. So the old times, I was cutting and pasting.
and how has graphic design evolved from then to now?
Well, you know, again, it's interesting because the principles are still the same, but we're using, you know, and oddly enough, you know, we still use a lot of the Adobe tools, which is what I started out on. But the idea that you can do it faster, better, you know, and the web has changed things a lot because you can make things beautiful across all platforms. And, you know, that when I started doing graphic design and then I kind of was dragged along to the web, let's be honest,
right?
Because I couldn't make it exactly pixel perfect the way I wanted it to be. But then I embraced the idea that here I could make these designs, you know, move and flow across the web. And now with things like CSS, it's really cool that I can make one change and it just goes across like all of these pages across a whole website. So that's pretty cool.
Was it daunting when you first learned CSS? So you didn't learn CSS in school.
No, I didn't lose. I mean, the internet, like, wasn't there.
So how did, I mean, so many people allow themselves to be stuck.
Yeah.
And they don't learn tech. They're like, they're tech allergic.
Yeah.
How did you embrace it and start the learning journey?
Well, I mean, again, it was kind of I had to for my job or I wouldn't, you know, survive in the job place, in job for my job. But at the same time, I found it exciting. So, you know, to me, And that's honestly, I used to co-own a company that built health education websites for the National Cancer Institute. And one of the reasons I sold that company, I owned half of it. Let's be clear. I didn't sell all of it, but I sold my half because...
Wait, no. Can I? No. It is amazing. And I want to celebrate you for selling a company half, full, a quarter. It doesn't matter. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank
That's
you.
An amazing thing that you've achieved.
Thank you. But the part of the reason I did that was because of social media and my blog. And that was becoming such a big part of my life. And I would try every new thing that came on. So it almost was crowding out the company side of things. And so I went freelance to be able to have the freedom to kind of make this, I have a slasher, you know, type lifestyle where right. I do, you know, this slash this now right. because of technology. Yeah. So
you're the girl who gets it done.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's great, you know, to have that flexibility and to kind of create a job around the things that you love doing.
Yeah.
You
know? What about technology and learning new skill sets was really daunting for you that you felt that you didn't know if you could achieve and then you did and you're like, ah, oh, I'm amazing. Oh,
gosh. I mean, to me, every day, because it's like every client will come with a site and then it's like, oh, yeah, I've done that a million times. And then, you know, we're in the weeds of it. And I'm like, oh, wait, of course, that's something new in this site that we have to figure out how to right. do. And I mean, honestly, it sounds so mundane, but even just Googling it and or putting it out, you know, I hate using other people's talents for free, but like even just putting it out, has anybody had this issue or, right. you know, those kind of things, like just use it, you know, stretching out to the community and asking for help, has been super helpful in terms of, okay, so somebody has to have had this problem before,
right, right.
you know, or, and if I, and if they haven't, I'll write about it, you know, and try to, use that as a piece on my site, to help other people.
Totally. You know, right. So tell me about like where you are today and how technology is a part of your everyday life.
Well, obviously, you know, just like everybody else, I'm attached to my phone and, you know, and I feel like it's funny because I know that in this world, we all walk around with our heads down into our phones. But, you know, for me, I'm also a concert photographer. On my blog, I do a lot of concert photography and a lot of times I go by myself. But I don't feel that way because I don't feel lonesome because right. I'm talking to people on Twitter while I'm there
right.
and kind of share the experience. So to me, it kind of opens up the world
a little
bit more.
And tell everybody, what is your blog? How can they find it?
It's Griebelhaus. So GREEBLEHAUS.com. And so it started out just, you know, as a sharing of our lives when my son was little, but it's evolved where I mostly do concert photography, but also travel. And I talk about tech as well. But, you know, it just is been this whole other thing. And in fact, you know, because of our love of concerts, we've started doing mobile schedules. My husband and I have a separate thing called Fan Plan that we create mobile schedules for festivals. And we're looking to turn that into a company.
Wait, what's that mean? Mobile schedules.
So like when you go to a music festival, multi, you know, big one.
Yeah.
A lot of times they have an app and the app is really great for you to research the band beforehand. Right. But when you're in the festival and the cell service dies,
right.
you can't figure out who's playing next. So we've created, it's a text only, actually a website
right.
that will come up very quickly and it's sortable and it's powered by data. So you can sort by band and time
That's
and
amazing.
Stage and it comes up.
And you
know,
built this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I mean, it takes me back to you building, you said you built health websites.
Yeah.
And how many did you build?
Oh gosh, hundreds, you know, but I had a team. I mean, it wasn't, you know.
Totally. So. But how did that become your specialty leading to the point of acquisition? Like, where did you start and how did you get there?
Yeah, I mean, we were a little bit different and the company still exists and they're doing great. It's a little bit different where I used to work in corporate America and then was laid off like everybody was in the 90s. And I decided I wanted something a little bit different
right.
than corporate America. So a cancer center was hiring to have their art director.
Right.
And then they had to start building websites to support grants that they were having that taught people, let's say, middle school kids about the dangers of smoking
right.
or eating more fruits and vegetables. And so that group, we broke off and two of us co-founded the company because we were getting this special kind of grant that only went to for-profit companies.
Awesome.
So, you know, again, it was a little bit, you know, when we talked to other people that, you know, are looking for funding and other things. It's a little bit of a different world than what I understand, because we got grants,
right,
and things like that. And when we sold, she bought me out. So,
I mean, it's like every little piece of the journey leads to the next piece, but you don't know where it's going to go yet.
Exactly.
Who's someone you really look up to in the tech space?
Oh, gosh.
Male or female?
Yeah. There's so many, you know, honestly. That's a really, really hard question. You know, I'd say Mr. Dash, probably. Neil Dash, you know, that he's not really a tech guy, but to me, he's like an influential person that when he speaks, I really listen in terms of, you know, it's like one of those people that every tweet I just favorite. You know what I mean? around here locally, it was funny because when you were reaching out to people in Denver, somebody had tagged Andrew Hyde, and then I tagged, which made me laugh because, of course, you know, we're looking for women in tech, and somebody, you know, tagged.
I remember you're like, Andrew's not a woman.
Andrew is a hot woman in tech, but but around here in town, you know, I tagged all the women that I really respect. You know, Olivia Omega, I think, is a great person.
She's really supportive.
Yeah, she's done some really great things in terms of just leadership and really teaching people about things. So I mean, again, it's like a really great supportive community.
How is the Denver tech community overall?
Well, you know, I feel like it was stronger. There was a weird thing that kind of happened, honestly, and it sounds so benign, but, you know, Denver and Boulder are connected in terms of, you know, that we're kind of sister cities per se.
Right.
But then there was a gigantic construction project on the main road that connects us.
Right.
And I think this is true of everywhere where like the meetups aren't happening as much, but it really kind of cut the cord between the two.
Interesting.
So for years, it was such a pain to drive back and forth. Well, now it's free flowing again, but those meetups really haven't, you know, haven't picked up again.
So would you say Boulder has a stronger tech community than Denver, or are they kind of equal?
Well, we have a little bit of a friendly argument going on between
us. It's like USC, UCLA. Yeah, got it.
Well, I mean, you know, it's like, well, we have the airport. They do have a lot of, you know, great investors up there. Yeah. And so, I don't know. One couldn't exist without
I got to say, most of my interviews have been in Denver.
Yay! No, I mean, again, it's a great community in both places, and there's a lot of startups up there, you know, where there's, you know, there used to be a joke. It was Andrew started it, called it Denware. Like, you know, but I don't know. I mean, I consider it a friendly competition.
I dig it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so speaking of community, this is cool. So I said I had something for you. So this is called a compass bracelet. And it's bigger than just a bracelet. So it's out of a female founder in Wilmington, North Carolina. And it's cork, not leather, but it's cork made to look like leather, imported from Portugal. She hand makes every single one.
Wow.
This one is 2103. The idea is, I give it to you. You share your story on shareyourcompass.com, how you got the bracelet. Mm. And within 2 weeks, you give it to a woman in tech who really inspires you.
Wow.
And then within 2 weeks, they give it to a woman in tech who really inspires. And every person shares the story of how they got it.
Oh, I love that.
And then you're able to connect with one another. So you could see all the different places your bracelet has gone and connect with those
great
people.
So
it's 2103. So this is
yours.
Thank you. And here are the instructions. Okay. And I'm giving you a Women Who Startup shirt, which is a sticker, which is a Denver organization, and then women tech sticker and your instructions.
Thank you.
Yeah. So do you have someone in mind you'll give it to?
You know, I immediately thought of my friend Jenny, who she does tech stuff for Chipotle, actually.
Oh, yeah. Trippy. Yeah.
So, I just thought that she would love that. So,
and where do you know where we could find Jenny online by chance? Like on Twitter?
She has various versions of Jen Cooper with underscores and that kind of stuff. So
how do you spell it? Is it C-O-O-P-E-R?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And is it J-E-N-N?
Yeah.
Or J-E-N?
Jenny. Yeah.
Jenny,
but I'm going to feel bad because all the Jenny Coopers are going to be like, what?
No. Well, we'll include it in the show notes.
Yeah,
you'll let us know. Yeah. We'll link to Jenny in the show notes. It's been amazing having you on the show.
Yeah.
Is there something that you wanted to share that you're like, wait, we didn't get to that part?
I mean, we covered it. I just feel lucky, I guess, you know, that tech has enabled me to, you know, connect with so many people, and people like yourself, like, you know, again, you just put it out on Facebook and then we, you know, got connected. So I just think it's amazing. It's really awesome.
Well, I appreciate you being part of this movement, this journey, whatever this crazy thing is called, where I'm like doing my best to get to all you fabulous women across the country to celebrate you and to inspire and to like really share stories about how you got to where you are today.
Yeah. Thank
so
you.
That other people can, you know, believe that it's possible as well. If you guys want to connect with more extraordinary women in tech, we have the Women in Tech Facebook group. You just go to womenintechvip.com. That takes you straight there. I did that because everyone's like, which one is it? So now it's really easy. Womenintechvip.com. You go straight to the Facebook group. And I will see you guys, talk to you guys, hear you guys in the next episode. Be sure to tweet at Women in Tech Show. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
The Women in Tech podcast is an independent production funded by you, the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to womenintechpodcast.com. That's womenintechpodcast.com. And just click on the contribution link to keep this podcast going. Thank you.